the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is April 6, 2018. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here in Eugene, Oregon. It's a bit gray outside, but that's just the way it is. It's not May. It's gray until May. You know how it is here. We want to thank you for joining us. We want to thank KEPW for carrying our show. Today's Friday, so I have on with me my co-host, Jerome. Hi, Jerome.
Good morning.
Yay, I'm glad you're still there. It's always a wonder on the Skype venue if everybody hangs on. And we normally, on Fridays, we've decided we're going to do a wrap of our show. But last night, I got a call from a friend of mine and an activist, a Northwest activist, Louisa Hamacek. She asked if she could be on today, and I said yes. So here we are with Louisa. This is Louisa Hamacek. She is a Northwest activist. And again, we're talking about what's going on up at Richland and at Hanford and the surrounding cities. So thanks, Louisa, for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, so you called me and said you wanted to talk about your phlebotomist.
Yes, definitely. So I was called in last week because, or 2 weeks ago, because of the storms, called in to give blood because of the storms in New England that just kept pounding them, and they had a need for blood, they said, of my type. So so I went in again, and of all things, my phlebotomist in Portland who was drawing blood, a wonderful gal, was working in Portland 4 days a week and living right next to Hanford. And she grew up there, right next to the Columbia Generating Station, the faulty nuclear power plant, the same style, same type. Jerome knows all about that as Fukushima. And she looks forward to owning the land that she and her brother are going to inherit from their parents. That's a nice little farm, and they love it. And her brother has his kids in one corner, and they're in Findlay. And Findlay is, I think, about 30 miles or so from the operating faulty nuclear power plant. And the big point is, she didn't think there was anything dangerous like that still operating at Hanford. And she grew up there, went to high school. Nobody told her since then. No. There's been no safety preparations for evacuation, like. She doesn't know that the people over there at Fukushima had to scrape up all their dirt in that distance from the Fukushima nuke and put it in bags, and that it's radioactive where they live. She didn't know that the same thing could happen to her. And I think Jerome possibly can go on more about that. But socially, it turned into a really beautiful friendship. I oftentimes am concerned about waterways and the rivers, but since being out at Hanford, at Richland, Washington, a few times, noting that in the afternoon the winds are blowing really hard, usually towards Spokane, northwest, like 250,000 people, or northeast, usually. It usually blows from the west to the east. But it has a percentage of time that it blows from the east to the west, depending on bigger storms and the swirl of the weather systems that go in this big spirals. And so sometimes it kicks it back over Snoqualmie Falls into Seattle. Sometimes it kicks it back down the Columbia Gorge into Portland and reverses that wind that's famous for the windsurfing in the Columbia Gorge at Hood River, where it's like squirt from the ocean, squirt up into the interior of America. But sometimes that reverses. So, and she's in the very first 10 minutes of where particles from an exploded containment building like Fukushima would drop. The bigger particles of the blown up thing.
Even where she's from originally, when you said Finley, remember you had me look it up. That's only, she lives very, very, very close. It is definitely not far. It's 16 miles away.
16 Finley. Miles. And yes. She was not informed. I was the one to tell her that this danger was there, and I was just a normal artist citizen coming in to give blood, as an American would do for other fellow Americans. And here we got this wonderful gal, uninformed. And I find that that's unjust, because the people around there should not be treated like guinea pigs and should be respected. And they should know their evacuation route. And they should be totally aware that there's this danger there. And she's looking forward to helping with her nieces and nephews, them growing up right there in that place. And looking forward to inheriting this beautiful land, she said, a small farm. And for anyways, the point being that our country should inform those people. That is a nuclear power plant still operating, left over from the bomb-making ones, turned into a commercial electric-generating nuclear power plant. It makes only a little bit of the nuclear power or electric power for the Northwest, like 2% now, I think, if that.
And it costs us extra money to run it because it's losing money every year, so they charge us money to keep it going.
Right, and also don't think that they're not continuing to refine enrich plutonium in that either.
That's why they're doing it, Jerome. That's the point of doing a nuclear power plant. Let's be clear.
It's a power plant that also makes plutonium.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It used to make plutonium, and I remember Heart of America Northwest caught them with, I think, Sierra Club about 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that they were going to take some of that nuclear waste from the bomb-making and the transuranic with plutonium. Not the nuclear waste, some of the fuel, something, I don't know, some kind of a stuff that had plutonium that was still usable and still hot, that they could boil water with it and make electricity is what that nuke does. And they were caught at that and told they couldn't do that because of the explosion danger, like Fukushima, that would put those particles of plutonium in every little speck of plutonium will kill you if it touches anything.
Do you believe they're not doing it? Do you believe they're not doing it? See, I don't believe. I think they do whatever they want, period. They don't care. They really have no regard.
I think that they call it something different, and then they put it back in there, and they sneak around until they're caught, and that they were doing it until they were caught with on that first time that I heard about, and so they sneak until they get caught is what they do, and they give it fancy names that you don't want to bother trying to figure out what they are, and like transuranic waste, why don't they just say it has plutonium pieces in it? That waste that they cleaned up at the Ineal place. But anyways, just to focus on what's happening for the citizens that live near this one faulty nuclear power plant that is still operating, should be shut down, and the local citizens Once you put the tri-cities together of Richland, Kennewick, and Pasco, those are the urban parts. And then these are folks that live in between them. Findlay, I guess, is 16 miles or something from this nuke, from Hanford. That would be in the, I'd say, secondary shell of the Hanford danger zone, I call
it. It's actually 33 miles from exactly the nuke plant. It's
okay.
22 miles from Richland. It's 33 miles from the nuke plant, but that's still within the 50-mile zone.
Yeah.
And, which direction and is it?
It is southeast on the river. It's right on the Columbia River, right beneath Kennewick. It's the next big city. It's right off of southeast. It's right on the Columbia as it curls around beneath Kennewick, right by Highway 397.
Okay. And so that has a higher percentage of time. Anything that is east of Hanford, east of the Columbia Generating Station, has a much higher chance of getting dosed with this exploded waste. So what we worry about is an accident. And
Snake River gets doused with waste then? You're saying Snake River is that way? It starts down there.
Focus first on the Tri-Cities area, because
okay. The
exciting thing is that's really wonderful is just the awareness of this nice gal that there was this danger near her and that she could do something about it. I said, you have more power than I do. I live in Eugene, Portland, and around here where it's not as obvious that I'm in danger and I have to convince people of this by weather maps and stuff, but it's totally a known thing that you're in the danger zone of where you will have this particles dump on you when it's spewed into the air from an explosion from the plumbing system breaking down and the cooling not working, and then it heats up and makes this hydrogen up in the dome of the containment building where nuclear waste is stored right now. Anything that they use there is stored up above it, and there was plutonium that was used, I think, at one point. But I'm not going to say I'm sure on that one. They might have been caught before they did it, but you guys think that they're still using it. Anyways, that would go blown up with the machinery and the cement into the air, and the heavier particles drop nearby, and they're radioactive. They could be parts of the containment of radioactive, really, in the inner core type of parts, or they could be outer shell that wouldn't have been as radioactive, whatever. The whole thing goes up into the air and drops at various levels in circles around where it spewed into the air, like from Chernobyl and from Fukushima. And so she...
And Three Mile Island, right? Three Mile Island.
Yeah, so, yes. Well, Three Mile Island didn't really spew out like that. It could have, in any spark, would have blown that thing, but it didn't blow.
That's what that's what allowed them to lie. I digress. Sorry, Lou.
Yeah. So my excitement is how wonderful socially it is that this gal represents all the people who are nearby there who could help us to shut that down, because she was excited to hear she can be an activist and tell her friends and family, all her high school friends. She said most of her friends who took those jobs cleaning up the waste at Hanford, and she has a lot of them because that's the main, almost everybody around there works at Hanford if they need some money. If they choose to be poor, they're not, or they might be at a hot dog stand or something. But anyways, they are sick with cancer, and she's so used to it. This one family that's worked there for years, they all have different cancers. There's nobody in the family of her high school friends, and she's about 40 years old, 35, 40, something like that. And she would like to start as a citizen who asks for that power plant to be shut down, who's nearby. And I say, wow, the beginning is so clear. As soon as she heard it, she wanted to demand that that be shut down. And I directed her to look at those videos by Greenpeace and others that were done about the citizens right now at Fukushima, and that just Google Fukushima and the date now and find out the news. And
we should put her in touch with Heidi Lambert, because she's also from, I think Heidi is from Richland, Kennewick or Richland. She grew up around there.
Excellent. And rub two sticks together.
Uh-huh.
And because
that's right.
She, in a very honest not an anarchist, not a trying to undermine the government way.
Right.
She's a good
citizen. She like us, Louisa. That is us. And am I correct, Jerome? You join us in that? I mean, I don't think we're like... Although you're a bit of a libertarian, I do have to admit.
Yeah.
I distrust the government way more than me.
Yeah, I don't trust the government at all. Yeah. Nor do I believe a word they say.
Yeah.
That's just facts.
We can just base our stuff on, well, we're sure that we don't trust the government because I know that.
No, me too.
About it. I mean, there's too many stories. It goes on and on. So we know that we cannot trust our very own government, which isn't very American and very, I mean, I thought that only a few hundred years ago we had some cool thing going on here when we started up this country about it being fair and just. But our government is not treating its citizens near the nuclear power plants very justly. They're being treated as, disposable. Like, well, we're going to say that the people nearby, Enfield, or if this blows, will be sickened. Okay, so what will happen to them? What's happening to the people at Fukushima right now? Somebody around her age that 7 years ago got dosed, what would it be? What could happen to her 7 years from now? Jerome, you probably know the physics.
Thyroid cancer, heart disease, mental illness.
Autoimmune
problems, conceiving children,
autoimmune
spontaneous
disease.
Abortions, autoimmune diseases,
yeah,
nosebleeds,
yes, nosebleeds, teeth falling out, ears eyes bleeding from your orifices and your teeth falling out is essentially what happens. You know, if you get a high enough exposure, if something was to happen up there, that's what would happen. That would be the first thing. And then your hair grows back. You get your teeth fixed because not all your teeth fall out. And life goes on, right? But then you get autoimmune diseases. And while that's going on, then you might develop diabetes. And your kids might get schizophrenic.
Really?
Before.
Oh.
Yeah, schizophrenia. Dr. John Goffman said schizophrenia is like one of the first things that shows up with diabetes, heart disease, thyroid, all the typical ones is schizophrenia. That's why we have an increase in schizophrenia in this country, no doubt.
Huh. Well, it sure can make you crazy if you can't trust your own government.
No doubt.
I want to be a patriot. I am a patriot, but it's hard to find a government I can be patriotic about because I don't trust this government. But it is my government. I'm in a predicament.
That's a good way to put it. We're in a predicament. They have all the power, and frankly, they're poisoning us. They literally are treating us like guinea pigs and, you know, assets on a balance sheet. And we are. I mean, the question is, the resistance is about taking ourselves off the balance sheet list. That's the resistance.
Yeah. And I think it's cool to be patriot to shut down nuclear power plants that are near you. And we have the duty to do that. And I empowered
That's
her.
That's how I feel.
In a sense, like I said, please let me be your friend and you be somebody who lives near here who wants to get your friends and family to shut that down because it's abstract. I know when I go to the hearings in Richland about different things going on at Hanford and Heart of America Northwest has me on their call me up and tell me it's happening and I might come and say something at the public hearing and other people can do that and you can get on the list from the Department of Energy and go speak about these things. So I was there and there was this energy of why are you coming to our town and trying to take away jobs from us when you live in Eugene, Oregon and you have plenty of work and you do just fine. You have nothing to do with us over here. And I was like, no, but you're in a federal facility. And I'm part of America, so I do have something. But besides that, maybe 6% of the time the winds will blow down the Columbia River and then blow up the Willamette to Eugene. We can get around the Cascades when the winds shift around. Things go in spirals around the corners and go backwards, upwards, and spiraling back. That's the way the winds and the weather work. So, no, we're not immune over here, but mainly it's as an American citizen. And then she was glad to hear... she was glad to hear that she has power as a local resident, where she was like, I'm just the phlebotomist. And I said, you're not, because you live here and now you're aware, and that you have a right as a local person to ask, for one, that every citizen should be given a Geiger counter, and one that sits in their house like a smoke detector, and then one that they carry around with them so that when they're gone from their house, they know when something happens or they hear it on the radio and they're scooting in their car to get up over the mountains away from it, which is what they should do if they hear of it happening, and don't sit around there. Get as far away from it as possible and know which way the winds are blowing all the time. Every day, if I lived where she does, I would be having wind socks, you know, like airports, so flags and different things, so I can always look out and say, oh, the winds are blowing from the nuclear power plant today. We better be on our toes and check our Geiger counters and blah, blah, blah. So then out around there, they have earthquakes every year, small ones, about 3.5, medium, small ones. But evidently, there's 10 miles underground, a very large tectonic type of a crack, of a fault line, that has been discovered in the last 5 years by the new thing of looking with an airplane with magnetic resonance, like you get your body scanned, MRIs, and you can do it to the planet now, and you can see the fault lines that weren't evident before. And so it was in Kennedy's days, JFK, that nuke was created. That's the Columbia Generating Station, I think. It was part of the Atoms for Peace program, that they would do both things of making bomb plutonium material as well as electricity for citizens of America to run their electric toothbrushes. And so it was it's been around there as a something to serve Americans, to serve the Northwest, to be a service, and its time is over. So that's what the citizens should do. They should shut it down, as well as they should protect themselves who live nearby. And we need to get the word to people around there, because obviously the fire department didn't knock on their door and hand them a map of the evacuation. Neither did the Red Cross, neither did the, who else is supposed to do it. The Red Cross is a nonprofit. It really should be our government. It should be the fire department. And I know I am ready to go with the disaster assistance team of the Red Cross. And we were told about Hanford as one of the dangers of the Northwest, not Hanford, but the Columbia Generating Station, slightly, because our captain went there for training every year for a maneuver where they do evacuations and they see how well they do at that. Now, that didn't go very far if the local citizens never heard about it. That's ridiculous. It was a secret training. Yeah. And so somehow we need to publish evacuation maps or something, let people know, and have them demand of our government. If $2 billion a year goes for the cleaning up of the waste at Hanford, of our Department of Energy money, which should go to solar energy instead of that, but it's going towards bomb stuff. Anyways, then the local citizens who are in danger, who are guinea pigs, who are placed around, who grew up in innocence around there, should be handed. And it's time to get out of the innocence and not have them be these guinea pigs, but should make the choice that they do want to live in such danger. I would not live there. I would move once I found that out. If I didn't know about that, yet she loves it. She grew up there, and she has.
Right, it's hard for people to leave their homes. Like, I encountered that sentiment when I met the people of St. Louis. Like, I would leave immediately, but then after talking with them, and you begin to understand, A, where do you go if that's all you have? And most people don't have the resources. You have a home that's contaminated. Then you have, you know. I mean, it's low level. The government is working on fixing it. And you're hoping that they'll be able to make the area clean in 10 or 15 years and that your family will be safe and you have medical insurance and you'll be able to get through it. That's how they're living with it.
Right. You have medical insurance. You can have your chemo and your radiation when you get your...
And,
your
And hopefully you can live through it, and cancer isn't a killer. That's what you hear. Cancer isn't a killer anymore. So,
oh, God.
Yes.
That's great.
Do you think that she'll be threatened? I think she'll be threatened if she goes back, or she will be told by people, they're just crazy. Those people don't know what they're talking about.
Well, if we could just make a parallel story and show them, well, this is what happened in Fukushima, and they lie so much that they're putting the Olympics with beautiful people who are the most amazing athletes of the world. They're bringing them to be radiated to Fukushima for Olympics. Right. That's just to make us think it's not dangerous, but it is. And it's a crime to take such beautiful humans and give them future cancer in 20 years, as well as their children that should be.
As well as all the people who came to watch the games. It's not just the Olympians will be harder hit because they're going to be working out and deep breathing and getting in as deep in their lungs, all those little particles that they can. But all the people, the tourists that are going to go there.
And, like, this is such a duping of the world that people aren't scared to go to Fukushima and think that this is a thing to do. I would drop out of the Olympics after my whole life if they were telling me I had to go to Fukushima to do it. It's wrong. It's like murder. And their kids will possibly be mutated, have all these different problems, because these Olympians who go there for a week or something to do the Olympics, it's like John Wayne and his crew going to do that movie out in the near the Nevada test site, and all of them died of cancer.
Right,
like 20 years later.
Their children have issues also.
Yeah, absurd.
So it doesn't just affect the person that gets the cancer or whatever it is. This is the issue with nuclear contamination that's different from chemical contamination. It does not... Chemical contamination kills you in a similar fashion, but it does not mutate your DNA in the same manner. Or, Jerome, am I correct in that?
For the most part, yes.
That's what I thought.
I'd say probably a few chemicals out there that actually destroy DNA, but not many. Radiation is the big one.
Yeah.
So what we have is
specifically gamma radiation.
Is it like a particle is going to be emitting it? What if for her, what would be the danger of this gal being how many 30 miles away? Is the nuclear power plant emitting radiation that would zap her, or is it a particle of stuff in the wind?
Mostly what the power plant is emitting is tritiated water with its waste, with its cooling output stream.
Okay.
It probably, aside from that, there's probably radioactive decay and pollution on that whole site that picks up in the wind. Little bits of plutonium and uranium.
On top of the fact that it's 15 miles away from Hanford, though.
Okay.
They can go hundreds of miles.
A truck driving into the property and driving out of there, will that be radioactive?
That'll pick up particles. Yeah.
Blows, and the other way is after the nuke blows. So after the nuke blows, like Chernobyl, I read the description of that by a local person who said it was a tower shooting into the air of fire that was going high up into the air, way up, like, I don't know how high, I can't remember, a mile high or something, of a tower straight up from the blowing meltdown explosion nuclear power plant, like a rocket. Shooting that up into the air.
Yeah.
So then it goes high and then it drops down wherever it comes down. And closer by has parts. But my wonderment is there this radiation like a radiator in your room that you plug into the wall? Is there a radiating out of dangerous ionizing radiation coming out from a blown nuclear power plant? Or is it the pieces of crap that are flying in the air that are going to drop down, and then they're going to be dangerous, besides what goes into the river.
Both.
So this deserty kind of terrain, 30 miles away from the nuclear.
I'm looking at it right now. I've been watching them clean this up over the last couple of years, and they're working on it. I can see that. Things are disappearing.
Yeah, and people have
and they
jobs.
Just looks like they just bury them over with a little dirt, and that's it. Time to move on. That one's done. Move on to the next plant.
Right. And so they make these sarcophaguses of the black one-ton garbage bags of the surface dirt, and they pile those together with cranes, and it's a lot of jobs for people in Japan. And then they put a wall around that so nobody will kick those things. But plastic, in my mind, breaks down over time, but maybe it won't. And then those things, if they break down, some of them are in, like, tall towers that are high. And if they break down, the wind will blow that stuff around again. And so I don't – and then other ones – you see from aerial photographs of Google Earth of Fukushima area, you see a stadium being built, and then you see right next to it the carefully piled and encircled collections of these bags of the surrounding dirt that was radioactive. And so they put it into those bags, and it's like half a block away from the stadium where all the Olympians and the visitors are going to be. And
The whole of Fukushima Prefecture is basically one giant bag farm. The way that the Japanese deal with alpha and beta emitting radiation sources is they encapsulate them and put them away and wait, and they're going to wait now until they're not radioactive anymore. Like, to stop the radioactivity on the power plant at Fukushima, they paved every square inch of soil, and that stopped all the alpha, all the beta. Okay, so you don't have this radioactivity that shows up on a Geiger counter. Okay, but you do still have the fucking dust from the explosions and stuff floating around. And every time something moves a little, a little bit of that dust breaks loose, and that's plutonium, americium, go right down the list of all of the fission products that were occurring, especially at Unit 3. You know, Unit 3 was running a mixed oxide plutonium reactor, so that's plutonium. They found plutonium specks 10 miles from the power plant recently. They found plutonium 10 miles from Fukushima power plant.
Yeah. And so there's 10 miles, and there's plutonium, and that will blow when the wind blows this way and that. Like the Chernobyl ones, they've been tracing it up the rivers and down. There's the Pripyat River and different ones, and the watershed. I've been looking at that because I love looking at watersheds. So I looked at, and I saw that it followed up the various valleys, like the Yakima Valley. If it was blowing towards the west, unusually, the day that the Columbia Generating Station might blow, it would go into Yakima, the farming community where we get tons of food from. That is like another, like the California basin for food making. It's like that, where wine, cheese, meat, lots of things are coming from the Yakima Valley that people are saying, oh, Washington Valley, Columbia Valley, Columbia Plateau wines. I'm saying, take it back to the kitchen and put it in a lead container, please. And give me Washington, from the Washington Islands. If you're going to get Washington wine, don't get it from the Columbia Basin, the Columbia Plateau. Don't get it from Walla Walla. There's a whole bunch of vineyards that are up along there. I'm sorry to take their business away, but it's not safe to have that. If you know about the Green Run,
it's
the
right across the river east of the Hanford site, like directly. And in fact, if you look at the Google Maps site, the old plutonium sites look white, and that's probably some kind of treatment they put on there that made them look super white, or salt or something. I have no idea, but you know that there's plutonium blowing across the Columbia River into those grape vineyards. It's just incomprehensible not to realize that's happening.
So, there were 7 operating plutonium production nuclear power plants, reactors at Hanford at a certain time. Now there's one that we need to shut down as soon as possible because it's old and full. And before it does this type of a blowing. But if we think back to when those 7 were operating and the winds were still blowing hard to the east from the ocean, it blows across the Cascades, comes swooping in there, it goes up the Columbia Gorge, making that incredible wind that's fun for windsurfing. That's the normal thing. Blows within in a normal average wind, it'll be a half an hour before it goes to the college town of Walla Walla, where there's three really cool colleges. And that's where there's intelligent people who should also be squawking, who should be knowing about this. And that's where
Try to talk to a family. I know a family from there, and they argued with me that it is perfectly safe. I was not going to ruin the afternoon, but they were insistent that I was misinformed. But if you go to the Google Maps, a little about those plutonium plants, it's very interesting. You can see them. They're little white splotches because the government moved them. One splotch, but you can see seven dots along the river, small.
Yeah.
Six small ones and one big gigantic one. It's very interesting, and they're right, and the big gigantic one is right across from Basin City, where all these vineyards are. And I am sorry to those farmers, because they have been super screwed by the government, 100% about this one. They have been misinformed themselves, and there's a reason why all their families have cancer and weird diseases and small bursts and sterility and encephalitis. You know what I mean? Like microencephaly.
Yeah. That there's people from out there that I bump into that grew up out there and stuff, and they'll find them in Eugene. I try to be kind and not tell them that they grew up in this radioactive place, that I'm aware of it. But I slowly work my way into there because I don't want them to get schizo. I mean, I would get schizo just knowing, gosh, is that why my friends all have cancer? And my sisters have all died. Am I next? Gee, I wonder. It's like, and if there's anybody from Spokane who's my age, I'm 62, they probably got thyroid cancer as in their 40s or their 20s, because they were kids when the green run happened, when the government released a test batch of iodine gas from the operating Hanford to test the new Geiger counters, which they had placed all around the Columbia Basin because they knew it would go out there and they would catch it at some point. And it went right towards Spokane. And then it landed, the gas landed on the grass and the cows ate it and it went into their milk. And the little kids who were my age at the time in the Spokane area had it for cereal and went off to school, and the rest of their lives it was festering in it. The iodine goes to your thyroid because it's iodine and your thyroid uses iodine to operate. And it's a gland in your neck, and it goes there. And most of these people, friends of mine, and they have friends from that area, had their thyroid removed and have to take thyroid pills. Luckily, that's like the easiest cancer to deal with because you can take pills that replace it, supposedly. And it regulates the fine things in your body, like temperature, sense of tiredness, things like that, that is very delicate little endocrine type of changes. So you could have a life after that didn't seem quite right because you were taking fake pills that were supposedly replacing your body's very delicate, sensitive juices that are squirted out from your endocrine, from that gland. Anyways, but it's so common for people around in the swath where the green run landed to have it. And there's 4,000 people at least in the downwinders.com, downwinders, who got thyroid cancer and are suing the government. But they've been doing that for 30 years and it hasn't done a thing yet. They haven't managed to sue the government for doing the green run. They haven't managed to get their payments paid. But if you look up INEAL...
Louisa, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? They haven't... With their payments paid? Do you mean they've had a judgment already said that they are owed money?
No. The government keeps saying you can't prove it was us that gave you cancer. That's what the government keeps doing.
And well, so that seems to be their... I did a rant on this my show the other day. That's their whole MO. They refuse to admit it. That's the crime against humanity of the nuclear industry. That's why I think they're still doing whatever they want, creating all the plutonium they want at CGS because of the Price-Anderson Act. Nobody goes to jail. If they do anything, the worst wrong, no one goes to jail, and their penalties are limited.
You should describe that Sanderson Act, because most people know what that means.
The Price Anderson Act, basically, it's popularly known as a cap to the nuclear industry. That's how people see it. Like, it says essentially one of the big things is that the licensees, if anything goes wrong at a nuclear power plant, it caps their liability, and then the U.S. government pays the rest of the whatever that we have to deal with. Like at Hanford or at Three Mile Island, for example. That's why that second unit isn't actually being fixed, probably because it's too expensive. They're not going to do it. And the government has to pay for it. There's no money for it. The Price-Anderson Act also has a very devious second underpinning to it. No corporation and no human being can be considered liable for knowingly or unknowingly causing harm to the environment or human health. So no one ever goes to jail. They can do what they want.
I want to do what I want to do to these people. I want to do what I want because I want to have them sit in a room with this junk, like a bucket of it, or how about a pile of dust on a piece of paper in the middle of a room, a jail cell for these guys. I'm picturing it all the time where they walk across the room, that dust will just kind of fly off, and they don't know. We won't tell them whether it's radioactive or not, but it could be. And we'll let them have that for their lives. And their drinking water, we're going to let that come out of a bucket that might or might not be radioactive.
That is probably radioactive, at least with tritium.
Yeah.
Why? Just make them live in the houses of their victims. Wouldn't that be appropriate?
Yeah.
Oh, so if it's so safe, now you're going to live there. Okay, well, no. I can't live, no. But you said it was safe.
I know.
No, it's not safe. Oh, it isn't, is it?
I remember in Chicago years ago where I used to live, the Chicago people get their drinking water, at least they did then, from these funny islands that are built that are sucking in pumps in Lake Michigan that you can see out from downtown Chicago, and you look out there and you see these blobs out there, and those bring in the water, drinking water, and then 30 miles, I think it is, or 20, maybe 30, north of Chicago is, maybe it's an hour north, I can't quite remember now, but Zion Nuclear Power Plant, which thankfully was shut down in the last few years, but back then it was very dangerous with pipe embrittlement. And it gets its cooling water, and it sits right on the Columbia River on the border of Wisconsin above Chicago. And Zion, remember Zion, because there, when we had a nuke loop tour in the old days, in the 80s, showing off the dangers of these various nuclear facilities around Chicago, the police chief came up and leaned in my window and wanted to move us on from the town that we couldn't be there with our caravan of motley crew. And I asked him directly if he was afraid of the nuclear power plant having an explosion, having a problem. This was pre-Fukushima time. This was in the 80s. And he smiled and he said, he's ready for it. And I said, are you prepared for evacuating? And he was ready for the end of the world. And he was pleased that it would be at his town. It was like biblical for him and beautiful. And it was too big of an issue to deal with. What are we going to do for evacuation? So it would be the blessed end of his civilization, of his life and his town. And that was his way of dealing with it, was like accepting it as with a smile that it's beautiful in a certain way because it's the end.
That's kind of suicidal. I mean, that's kind of, you know what really makes me kind of moves me about that? It does kind of upset me. Is that guy's making a determination for the rest of the community. Yeah, he's settling in. It's okay. No problem. That's for him, but he's making that determination for everyone else.
And actually, he'd been fed a bill of goods because he was feeling like hey, that's a good way to go. You won't feel it. You'll just be blown off the map. But it's not the way it goes.
No.
People with cancer the next few years and thyroid and whatever, other cancer.
The lucky ones get blown off the map.
Yeah, right. It's not going to be that way. Look at those poor people. And didn't you say, Lonnie, that people are being forced to move back to Fukushima so that it'll seem like the place isn't radioactive? Isn't that what's happening?
Yes.
They have to go back.
They're actually they've coerced people and told them if they don't move back, they have to repay the rent that they've been free rent they've been getting. It's really disgusting. The secrecy laws in Japan, this is why we don't hear very much, because of the secrecy laws. In fact, in Fukushima Prefecture, it's becoming very unpopular for anyone to complain about radiation because the people are being considered as if you're saying bad things about the community.
Right. And so I want to return to being a patriot, and I love the Northwest. I love
Me
the
too.
Columbia.
Me too.
Different and weird, the scablands and all this.
It is patriotic to close these nuclear power plants down and to demand remediation and to end this system of destroying our only country that we have.
Yeah, and of course people should just
draw
a line upward from the Columbia Generating Station. You get to Minneapolis, lots of major cities across America, because the winds will blow eastward, wiggling up some of these canyons of the rivers, like the Salmon River is one way eastward above, like east of Walla Walla. It then tries to get over it'll sweep down under the Bitterroot Mountains of in the middle chunk of Idaho, and then start heading right past Yellowstone for even the Hanford stuff. It's going to go down that way, and then it's going to try to figure out its way across the Rocky Mountains through canyons. After it does that, which disperses it a bit, it's going to go in a wider path across America to Washington, D.C., and then across the Atlantic. It's going to go, it'll be wide, and it'll cover all of the megalopolis of Chicago to Washington, D.C., all of that stuff of the eastern band. And so really America will be dosed where our highest population is, will be dosed with the Columbia Generating Station if it blows. I mean, what did it take? 24 days for Fukushima to encircle the world with its dropping radioactive dust with every rain cloud that came down. And then in 24 days, it had made it back around the world, back to Fukushima, which is about the same level as the Columbia Generating Station in its latitudes. Is that which one? The horizontal things. So it would go like that around the same way. And I think it took 8 days or something before Oregon was the first state to get dosed with Fukushima, and it made a raise in our radiation, background radiation, notable since that time.
What areas in Oregon got blasted? Did you find out?
I am not sure. I need to find out more. So I'm hoping you guys will find that out. I've had it.
Yeah, the entire area got pretty well
toasted. Yeah, we got the whole thing. Yeah. I think just got toasted. I mean, it just blew over. We were the first. You know, Oregon is a direct line from Fukushima, so it just blew over.
And it matters. I don't know where all you guys were when Chernobyl happened, but I was in Chicago at a MaxWorks co-op, and we had the roof we were repairing at the time of an old Victorian building storefront, and we had a hole in the roof. And then we hear, and there was a condemned part of our building, but that was right above where we had a storefront and different things. And we were so sad that day that they told us in the government, the rain today is radioactive. Nobody should play in it. It's coming from Chernobyl. And it was so sad. And it didn't. It didn't have any rain across America till it hit Chicago-ish. And then it dumped on Chicago. So I've gotten it twice now. And we had to take buckets down and pour them in the toilet so it wouldn't soak into our building. Of the leak water that was coming through our repair job that we were doing. It was like scary. That day was depressing.
Wow.
That rain was about the worst. And so we dump it in the toilet and that gets it away from our house. But the whole
it goes right in. Well, it's going to go everywhere if it's raining. Wow, I did not understand. So Chicago actually got hit by Chernobyl rain, and the government said it was Chernobyl rain. They wouldn't tell us today. I don't believe they'd say a word today about any of it. Like what they're doing, we're so outraged about what's going on. Heidi Lambert talks about this. We're super outraged about what's going on in Fukushima and all what's going on over there. But the fact is, they're doing it to us. Look at Richland. Look at where Finley is. Look at every nuclear site, every single nuclear facility. All they do is deny. I mean, it is seriously such, it's incomprehensible that Americans are willing to just sit down and shut up. That's what I feel I don't consider myself anti-nuclear. I consider myself patriotic. I consider it my human duty, a duty as a human being to stand up against this because the evidence is overwhelming. We don't need more studies. We have the evidence. I mean,
we need to use.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
What did you find, Jerome?
I'm looking at Google Earth 2018 imagery of the Hanford site, and I'm seeing farms with the circular crop pattern.
Jerome, yes.
On both sides of the river over where those reactors were.
That's
that means somebody's gone food on the Hanford site.
Yes.
A lot of it.
I've driven
most of the
like
food.
Really a lot.
Yes. All the apples, all the potatoes, most potatoes, most apples, most wine, all of it.
Yeah. Do you want to know who lives there? If you go to those towns, which I do, I drive over there every year and I explore around and I put up maps. At the grocery stores and things. And those towns are Mexican. Sorry, hate to just be blunt about it, but the farm workers are Mexicans, and almost all those close-by towns within 5 miles are and 10 miles are Hispanic, very poor towns. The closer you are to Hanford in that valley of those towns, they are like beat-down type of towns. But also they're not Americans. Well, some of them are, but they are not in the regular fray. So if you are an illegal alien, or let's say you're legal and your three cousins who showed up are illegal, you are not going to complain to the government. You are going to be grateful they let you farm right there. Yeah. So they're not.
Yeah,
so it's really
like Geiger counter and
study. Well, the thing is, we also are not talking about the coercive. I mean, it is very well known that people who resist the nuclear industry get violently threatened. I mean, if you are not willing to participate with them, I mean, we've had an activist in Paducah, Kentucky. Glenn Woodford put up a post on YouTube yesterday, actually, talking about he was at a family gathering. I mean, his life has literally been threatened because he stands outside and protests Paducah, Kentucky, and people are telling him, you know, you're just causing trouble. I mean, and this is what happens. The people, because the nuclear industry doesn't have to make people say these things. People feel like their lives are threatened if this industry is going to shut down. They have great incomes that they would not be able to earn anywhere else.
Yeah, right. I know there's incomes that come with the radiation, and you're placing your bets on whether you're going to get it or not, and you eat healthy food, perhaps, and you exercise. And you keep yourself with plenty of sleep and all that, that'll keep you from being knocked down by the ailments that can come from the radiation that can, but it doesn't. Because it could just be one ray of an ionizing radiation zaps you in one certain way. And each of our DNA, right, our genetic code that's in our cells that reproduces itself to, you know, like if you get punched in the kidney, there's going to be damage to your kidney and it'll start remaking more kidney cells that got punched. But the problem is when you start, if it, when a DNA gets zapped by a ray of radiation, it can be torn apart and its messages are all crazy. So the next thing it makes is a glob that's a tumor of cancer, and then it keeps reproducing a screwed up idea, and the model of the first thing is wrong, and so it keeps reproducing the wrong thing, and then it's just chaos on top of chaos of your body trying to insulate, and so it makes material around the wrong thing, tries to get rid of it and shoot it out through your pee and your poop, and it tries to do those different things, and at a certain point you are overwhelmed and the cancer spreads. But for a while, your body has got a chance to not be affected by that first ray because you have backup DNA that will be there. But once both of those, the backup and the original, are affected by the damaging high-energy ionizing radiation ray ripped apart, then it can't reproduce anything. It doesn't have the code, the correct code to redo it. So that's what happens. So you can, if you stay healthy and don't smoke cigarettes and you don't, and you do.
Well, there are, you know, the thing is, there are some now, there are cures. I mean, we had Dr. Circus on who said one of the best things you can do if you, you know, being exposed is take a half a teaspoon of baking soda. He thinks baking soda, go to drcircus.com, S-I-R-C-U-S. And look at his protocols. He's healed many people. He has testimonials of people there. He's pretty well known. Jerome interviewed him first, and then I interviewed him. He's a very interesting man. Huh. I mean, his whole there are things that we can do.
And see, that's baking soda is what you do to make more alkaline in your body, basic, and not acidic, and to stop gas and things. So for some reason, that's working for probably the acidity of your body. And lots of people talk about fighting diseases with acidity and different things. So that's an interesting thing I never heard of. Yeah, and so I think why I really wanted to talk was about supporting local people near the Columbia Generating Station with materials, information, maps, and empowering them with more people behind them so that they can be the nuclear peace head of our movement to shut the Columbia Generating Station. Perhaps they should also check out the other Northwest nukes that are operating that are bigger and dangerous in a sense than the research nukes at the colleges. There's two of those. But the other ones are at INEAL in Idaho, in near Idaho Falls, just north of Idaho Falls. And if you go to that site, the funny thing is, if you research it very quickly, you're getting lawyers and medical insurance companies that are trying to sell workers from INEAL a lawsuit package for claims about their health. So it seems to be a common thing that you work at INEAL, and many of the workers at INEAL can claim, like they repackage up plutonium and they make it ready for other projects, and they have been sending nuclear waste there.
Louisa, I have to interrupt you. We have 30 seconds okay. left. So okay. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thanks, Jerome, for joining us. Thanks. I like this with both of us on. Really, Louisa, what a fascinating show this has been. You'll have to come back. Maybe you could interview with Jerome. He's much better at the scientific stuff. I encourage everybody to put your courage feet on. It does matter, and it's really our patriotic duty to stand up to this and demand accountability. So thank you, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.